At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Garrett, that intro was hot. How's it going, everybody? It's the first annual, the first ever Eat Sleep Elite AW 2022 awards show.
Hello, what have we here?
Hello, and you know what it is, man. And we're the tux. If this was video, we'd be in the tuxedos. We're looking nice.
I still
nice.
Wouldn't be in a tuxedo. I'd be in a hoodie and a t-shirt. Fuck you.
Fuck you. And you know what? Here's the thing, guys. This is something we've been looking forward to a lot. It's something I honestly would love to do every year from here on out. This was we had a full podcast year this year, and you know, this was a fun year for AEW.
Yeah, real weirdly, quick. I'll say this now because I didn't really bring this up. I actually brought this up to you this time last year. I was like, should we just slap something? Should we slap nuts something together? You know,
slap nuts, and now we got slap nuts in the company.
Literally. So, but when you were like, nah, let's wait till we actually have a year under our belt. And dude, Charlie, for one, who thought we'd still be doing a podcast at this time? And it's not that we don't like each other. It's just that there were some times when like, there was like 5 weeks where we didn't do jack shit on this podcast, really. We just kind of talked like nonsense, you know, like, because it was pretty rough there for a while. And we were like, the writing was on the wall. We were like, all right, well, what are we gonna do? I think we even started having the conversation. We're like, are we gonna do we have a backup podcast for us to still do together if this falls through? You know, I hate to be that guy, but you know, we're adaptable. We've done like 4 different podcasts together over the years, you know, like, so
literally, I mean, it goes way back, and this is our first year we've done. We're gonna
this is the longest running one we've had, right? We didn't do RDP or anything like that for longer than like 6-8 months, right? Or anything at a time, I don't think.
Yeah, because
right?
We
like,
changed it to the Squadcast, right? So, yeah.
I guess technically that was one continuous show we did for like a couple of years, but like it didn't really, there was breaks. Like this is like it, but this is every by fucking far, week, except for a few. Okay, whatever. Almost every fucking week for like the last year. Okay, we didn't hit the podcast. We'll do it next year, I promise.
And shout out our third co-host of that, Brady. Good brother Brady. He's a teacher, and he's doing it big, man.
He was on a podcast episode, wasn't he?
He was on. And you know briefly. What? I think in 2023, we'll try and get him more for the random just little poke in for each. He'll sit in
it's
the
good
call
to get,
with us.
And I don't hope this comes off the wrong way. I hope this doesn't come off the wrong way. That sentence came out wrong. But, it's good to get somebody's perspective that isn't like watching everything and is into everything in the same way we are. Who like, I'd be interested to see who sticks out to Brady, you know,
1000%. And
like, imagine how much of a pop it would be to us if he was like, if he became an instant Dante Martin fan, like we would be so happy, dude, or Wheeler or any of our boys.
Shit like that know? Would be so cool. But so real quick, if you guys are, you must be listening to this on a podcast form, whether that's Spotify, you know, iHeart, Amazon, Apple Music, Google, or just one of the other podcast trees that falls under, and you like this show, we'd appreciate you sticking around because we do a weekly show called Eat, Sleep, Elite, where we discuss our favorites of that week. We dive into each results of the respective AEW shows and the news of that week. So we had a really
fun
show.
Our most recent
week.
Episode, which you can listen to right now when you get done with this, is actually a bit of a banger. We just got done recording it, just to give you a bit of a timeline breach of incursion of multiversal levels. You know,
the TSA has arrived. No, it's not the TSA, is it?
The TVA. The TSA. TVA, has, there the it is. TSA like, has no, arrived that's to take away, you know, your baggage or something.
Yeah, get better security. No, but yeah, so we'd appreciate you checking those out. We have a Twitter, Eat Sleep Elite, and we're kind of trying to grow a little community there. So if you want to pop on there, give us a follow, we'll follow you back. And, you know, we appreciate anyone that chimes in, lets us know what they thought of this. I would really love to know everyone's awards, and that's something I'm going to try and find out this
week.
Yeah,
if you disagree with our awards and you have somebody else you'd rather have in that position, you know, let us know.
Let us know. Yeah, because I love this kind of shit for real. So we really
appreciate
that. I'm
sure we'll have missed on something. Like, just let us know. Like, we'll figure it out.
And I think there's only one way to start this out, Garrett. Let's start us off with our men's wrestler.
We didn't actually say who was going to go like first or second on these. Do you want to like flip a coin or something? I don't have a coin around me, but
you know, I'll flip an imaginary coin here. Well, you know what?
I do have a coin over there. If you want to do this live, I can do it.
Let's do the order that's set by our podcast. You have odds. The first one up, it is an odd number.
Okay.
So it is Men's Wrestler of the Year. We're going to play this little corny drum roll. If it doesn't stick, it is what it is. But Garrett.
Yeah. So the 2022 Men's Wrestler of the Year for me this year is.
It's not playing.
Of course. That's all right.
That's okay.
All right. No drum roll. It's fine. The 2022 Men's Wrestler of the Year for me for ESE is Dax Harwood.
I like it. Well deserved, Dax Harwood.
There's been so many matches, most of them out of AEW, which you might be like, that shouldn't count then. I don't care. I make the rules. No, not really. But like, actually, to be honest with you, it doesn't really matter. Like, I feel like you have to take into account what they do outside of AEW for a lot of these wrestlers, because there's just only so much AEW TV time, you know, like,
and you know what? The Ring of Honor shit counts. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
Technically is Ring of Honor, but
and
it counts.
Forbidden Door, I mean, like, you know, is where they won one of their sets of titles, was it not? So, I mean, like.
Yep, the IWGP.
So, if that doesn't count, I don't know, whatever, you know. But at the very least, you know, but that's not even counting the stuff that they did outside of those three companies this year. You know, like, everything that Dax Harwood has been a part of, all of the singles matches, everything that he's done as a part of FTR in this year, I believe he's deserving of the 2022 Men's Wrestler of the Year award from me.
Well put. He's had a fantastic year. And like you said, the singles matches, it felt like it was each week. Whether it was Danielson, Ospreay, Punk, he was going out there having awesome singles matches. And you know, FTR, the living legends, which I'm sure this won't be the only time we're talking about them. Incredible year, too. So, yeah, Men's Wrestler of the Year, Dax Harwood, well-deserved. So for me, right, Men's Wrestler of the Year, actually fucking played this time, John Moxley.
Is bullshit. No, I'm kidding.
We were just talking on our most recent episode, gashing about, you know, the year he's had. And for me, John Moxley, whether it was the formation of the Blackpool Combat Club or over the summer when he kind of came in and took that spot when CM Punk got hurt, they needed a man at the top. So what did they do? They brought in John Moxley. He had incredible Dynamite and Rampage matches, whether it was against Hangman, whether it was against Wheeler Yuta, the Danielson match, you name it, the Forbidden Door match he had with Tanahashi. Fantastic. It was the four-way, right? So, just absolutely fantastic stuff. No, so the four-way was something completely different. Ignore that.
Yeah.
But,
so we have our first co-winners of an award.
Yep, Dax first Harwood, co-winners.
Dax so Harwood and John Moxley. Both well-deserved. Honestly, well, John Moxley had this spot for me until, like, literally last week. Like,
That's really neat. Yeah, okay.
Like, I had Dax Harwood for months and months and months and months, and then John Moxley, like, in the last couple months of the year, really snuck in there for me. I was like, man, I really had to consider Moxley, because he really has had, like, one of the best years, you know?
But, he has, and same with Dax. So, I think both guys, like, genuine, deserving winners of the award. They are the co-wrestling, men's wrestler of the year for us. So since it's women's, I'll kick us off with this one. So, we'll kind of do a bounce back and forth, right? Probably the best way to do it. So, my women's wrestler of the year, Thunder Rosa. She's been injured a little bit, but I cannot take away the incredible beginning of the year she had. To me, she won that award then. Whether it was the match at Revolution against Britt Baker, I thought her title reign, she was going out there. She was putting on incredible matches on Dark against Yamashita. Then she wrestled Yamashita on a Dynamite, which was awesome. Her match, she started doing the Toni Storm stuff, and, you know, she had the four-way. You name it. I thought Thunder Rosa, to me, won this award really early on, and I just don't think anyone took it from her, in my opinion. I think she held it.
This is going to be controversial. I can imagine that there's going to be, if there's discussion created by our podcast at all, that this is going to be one of the discussion points, I imagine. Is there anything else you wanted to say about Rosa before I go on?
No, I think you know, the back injury that she suffered, and I believe it was September, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I don't exactly remember when. And you made some really strong points that I just know I'm going to get somebody that's like, oh, how could you do that?
Yeah, and you know, so it was August 24th was the date she revealed she had her injury. So, and that was going into the match against Toni Storm, most likely. So, yeah, that was I can't not mention the Serena Deeb matches. And I thought her and Serena Deeb fucking crushed it when they had their chance. So, yeah, she absolutely killed it to me the first 8 months, and I think she won the award then. So, Garrett, let's see if the drum roll will work. You are Women's Wrestler of the Year.
Toni Storm.
Well-deserved.
That's why I said it's gonna be controversial, because it's the person who kind of sort of picked up the ball to steal that from Jon Moxley. I keep saying that this week. Weird. It might come back later, but anyway. little tease there. Taste.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I didn't want to cut you off, but you know what? I should have ran over the topics at the beginning of the show. Real quick before you jump into Toni Storm. So we're doing Men's Wrestler of the Year, Women's Wrestler of the Year, Tag Team of the Year. And then for our matches of the year, we have Pay-Per-View, Dynamite, Rampage, Dark. Yes, we watch Dark. We cover Dark. We're doing a goddamn Dark match of the year. Feud of the year. Pay-Per-View of the year. Favorite promo. Favorite storyline. Favorite moment. Most underrated. Breakout star. The best 2022 signing. And you know what, a little fun one? Our favorite independent wrestler, because why not, right? That being said, Garrett, Toni Storm is your Women's Wrestler of the Year. Our another co-winners here. So
I thought at least one of the years would be unanimous, but I guess not. All right, that's fair. That's fair. We have different ideas.
One of them will be. It'll be the next one.
Thunder. Will it? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Are you sure?
1,000%. Right. Maybe my not match now. Is, shit. I don't know.
My match is really late in the year. You're going to be shocked. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, because mine was one for a long time, but I'm going to be honest with you. I let my feelings get in the way of my decisions for these awards. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, how I felt about certain wrestlers, I still haven't let it go. So, you know, there's a guy that everyone's going to be shocked. It's not going to be a single award for me this year. It's Punk. I didn't do anything with Punk. I'll just say it now. Punk gets nothing from me.
Okay.
He's not a single award. So if that just revealed to you that I didn't have any of the same as you, that's great, because I'm holding a grudge, and you know what? If CM Punk never likes me because of that, I'm okay with that, because
I can live with that.
He ruined my fucking dreams of wrestling. I'll say it. You know, I wanted this guy back for God, you know how long, Charlie, and I regret it now. Anyway, so Toni Storm, really, really great overall year. Came in April, you know, so she didn't really get the full year treatment, but. Honestly, is in that category. Could have potentially been the person that I chose for my best signing of the year. Definitely could be if we did one separate for men and women's each, which would be really, you know, like convoluted and unnecessary, because it should be it should just be whoever's the best at the end of the day. But really, really solid year. Every match she did, I can't think of a bad match Toni Storm had. The latter half of Thunder Rosa's sort of rocky title reign, she helped to bring that back. And like I said, she picked it up when there was a time when it was needed. There's various times like this year, and it's kind of what defined this year, was people stepping up when they had to, because there was opportunities that were presented to them because of unfortunate circumstances. And I really respect everything that Thunder Rosa did, but for me, this was Toni Storm's year.
Hey, I like it. I like it. Yep, she was signed March 30th, 2022, and she went on to have the Wrestler of the Year for you in AEW, and that just shows the incredible year she had. She took that ball and ran with it. There was a stretch of, I think she had a match every single week for about, it was either 8 out of 9 or 9 out of 10. And she ran with it. She put on good matches. Well deserved if you're a Women's Wrestler of the Year. So, just recap, Jon Moxley and Dax Harwood, Men's Wrestler of the Year. And Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm, Women's Wrestler of the Year. So, really cool that our stuff is split here. So, you know where we're going. Tag team of the year.
Oh, I thought I skipped that in my notes. Yeah, it's probably going to be the same, actually, to be fair.
So, tag team of the year. You got the lead here. Here we go. Let's get the drum roll.
2022. Yeah, tag team of the year. The Living Legends FTR. It's nobody else. It's not even close. If there's ever going to be a unanimous award, it has to be this one. These guys have been top to bottom the best team in any fucking company all year. It's like not even close. They made everybody in every company besides the WWE that they obviously couldn't wrestle against. look better. And not just that, they made themselves look like the absolute legends living that they are.
Yes.
And you said something on the podcast that I think this is the year that is going to go on. Or maybe you didn't say this in the podcast. Either it was in the podcast or right before, because we have little discussions right before and I can't remember what gets on air and what doesn't. But this is going to be the year that defines FTR's legacy. When you look back, you're going to be 1,000%. Like, yeah, this is going to be the year. Really sucks that we did not get to see what could have really nicely capped off this year. As much as I would not have liked to see the Acclaimed cut short, I would have been okay with like a 1 week FTR title reign just to see four belt FTR, just to see what it would be like. Because who knows? Maybe that takes the crowd by storm. And maybe that's why Tony Khan doesn't do it, right? Because the Acclaimed are in a really big spot right now, right? And the FTR would inevitably, with four belts, that's the bigger story. Even if you want to do the 1 week thing or 1 month thing, even, you know, and have, go back to the Acclaimed, it doesn't help anybody. So you have them do the sacrifice that they made to lose to the Acclaimed and then lose to the Briscoes, which is going to ultimately help both AEW and Ring of Honor going forward. Being able to be humble enough to take those losses after the year that they had, Charlie, just incredible humility and just two phenomenal wrestlers. I don't even have to talk about in ring. Everybody knows they're the best tag team in the world.
Yes.
Like, you can make an argument for the Elite like last year. Now you can't. Can you, Charlie? I'm gonna ask you and I'm not insulting you. I say that a massive Elite mark. You're a massive Elite mark. You're a big time Elite guy. Can you even argue that the Bucks aren't there anymore? Because it's kind of like they're way far ahead, it feels like, at this point. They had such a great year, you know.
FTR has transitioned this year into just the living legends. It sounds kind of corny to say it when I say it, but it's true. The gimmick that they are is true. I mean, they are the guys now.
They're not playing a character. They are the best tag team in the world, you know?
And you know what? And to no surprise of anyone here, the first unanimous award, my tag team of the year, is also FTR. So congrats to those guys. Seriously, it's fitting that it's our first unanimous award, the Eat Sleep Elite unanimous. Just an absolutely incredible year, man. I mean, the matches, right? You got the trilogy with the Briscoes. When we talk about it, the first match of the Briscoes and the Young Bucks match in the same week might be the greatest week we've ever seen a tag team have. And the United Empire match, just awesome stuff. I mean,
that has one of the greatest moments in a tag team match ever. That punt, the smack in the face to keep them from tap. Dude, that is one of the, that lives rent free in my head. We got to rewatch that match sometime.
It does. And it lives rent free in my head.
You know what we should do? We should rewatch that match after this show. I'm sorry. I don't care if you have something to do. We should do that. That's such
the Royal Quest. Run it back. I mean, look, man. No, but FTR this year, when they came to AEW, everyone was excited and everyone was like glad for it. But, you know, they won the titles and it just felt like it wasn't there yet. It felt like we didn't get
it was 80 days and then they lost it to the Elite and they didn't really.
It felt like their footing was never there. They never got their footing right. And they came out this year with this gimmick and my fucking God, man, even the triple, like the trios matches, you name it. When they team back up with Wardlow, FTR Housen, FTR and Punk.
FTR Housen was awesome.
It was, man. And just honestly, really great stuff. And it goes beyond that. They don't just win the award by being the best team in the ring. It was the promos, too. Great promos every week, putting over the next guy, putting over big matches. And son of a bitch, winning tag team of the year also.
Imagine telling these guys to go shave each other's backs in a promo.
Yeah, and putting over the Acclaim like they did last week, fucking good on them. Really, good on them. Because that just made the Acclaimed. Like, the Acclaimed are going to use that win to propel their legacy. And that's the status that FTR is at. That's where they're at in their own legacies, is that they can propel others. So, Tag Team of the Year, they fucking earned it, all rights. Good on them. I couldn't be more happy for them. And I couldn't be more happy that they're our first unanimous award. I mean, it's fitting, right? So,
absolutely.
Some of the other stuff, I'm assuming our wrestlers of the year and shit like that. We spent some time on those. That's the way it was going to be. That's we had to gush over them because we've been thinking about it. So Let's jump into our matches of the year, right?
Yeah, these are what hit you right at the right time, basically. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it is me going first. So let's start off with pay-per-view match of the year. Okay? So a drum roll, please. Anarchy in the Arena is my pay-per-view match of the year. Want to talk about something that lives rent-free in my head? This fucking match.
Eddie Kingston with the oil can spot.
It was just so spectacular. So this match, of course, took place at Double or Nothing 2022, which I'm going to double check, but I believe it was in Chicago. No, it was in Vegas. And this is a really fun. This is a really fun pay-per-view, but you know what? This was the beginning. The beginning of the Jericho Appreciation Society and Blackpool Combat Club. That's still going on today, 6-7 months later. And I just, whether you name, there's so many moments from this match, but the reality is this is a batshit match that shouldn't have worked. But the talent in it and the booking of it made it work. Yes, we did get injuries in this match. We still haven't seen Santana. Hoping he's all right, because Eddie and Ortiz have been a tag team since, pretty much. But yes, the match was Chris Jericho, Daniel Garcia, Jake Hager, Angela Parker, and Matt Menard against Bryan Danielson, John Moxley, Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. This was a 22.5-minute match. And man, this was just, to me, Garrett, this was just pro wrestling. I don't know how to, this was batshit. The excitement I felt this match, it's unparalleled. And I'm very glad it happened. So Jericho Appreciation Society won that match, of course.
Absolutely.
And it propelled, you know, one of my favorite feuds of the year. So, yeah.
I'm struggling to find the notes on this match because it was running forever ago. Wait, where is this? Imagine this is the one time I didn't actually mark my notes for a pay-per-view properly.
Yeah.
If it's so, I can remember enough about it.
but yeah, well, Any takeaway from Anarchy in the Arena? Was this one of those matches you love too? And
oh no, Anarchy in the Arena. Yeah, I can speak about that. You know, it's a lot of stuff really crazy. Sammy took the bump off the cage, which was pretty. Sorry, that's not Anarchy in the Arena. Sorry, that was in the other match. Anarchy in the Arena was crazy. Like there was that really iconic spot where Jericho turned off the music. Those two matches.
The Angelo Parker dangling from the fucking thing, just all bloodied up.
Wait, Anarchy in the Arena or Blood and Guts?
Yeah, no, Anarchy in the Arena was the one where Angelo was like tied up, just dangling from the thing. Just that iconic shot. You had that.
The Eddie Kingston with the gas can thing.
Yep, it gets a little muddied sometimes because we had that other one, and that one was much sooner than this one. This was in May, but yeah. So
regardless, it was all in that giant like storyline. So it's all like it's. I get what you're saying. Like there was it's kind of hard to get those spots right in your head, but the whole point is like, it was just really chaotic. They created something that, one thing that was really cool. And I mentioned that music thing where they did the music cut when Jericho like attacked the, thing, cause they'd left Moxley's like, they were all so like scared of what was going to happen with the Anarchy in the Arena. You had Justin Roberts with the shit's about to hit the fan, you know, like so many just elements that had to work for this match. Like this, on paper, this match should not have worked, and it did. And
it shouldn't have.
The power of wrestling, you know?
And I can't believe it worked as well as it did. So it's more of a shock, too. So that being said, a little bit of a drum roll here. Garrett, what was your pay-per-view match of the year?
The Elite versus Death Triangle at Full Gear.
Okay.
So this one hit me really recently. This is why I'm trying to find my notes for it. I don't know what it was about this match, but it just like I have not had very many Elite matches that really hit me in a way that I was like, this has to be like one of my best matches of the year. But every match with the Elite can be a match of the year contender. That's just a fact, you know?
That's the talent that those three possess when they're in a ring together.
Man, it's just so good to have Kenny Omega back. He's been the glaring hole in AEW for months and months and months and months and months, and now even longer because of the stupid shit with CM Punk. So, like, I'm just so happy to have him back and have the Elite back together as a faction. And now we get to have Brandon Cutler back on Dark because of that. Like, I mean, he's been on and off, but like, you know, actually fully back on Dark all the time. And I don't know. There's just something about how that match came together, and it was kind of last minute, obviously, you know, because they had to bring them back, and it was very recent, obviously. You know, it's kind of crazy. People are like, you literally put a match in the last like 3 months in here, but it's like, I don't really care.
That pay-per-view was fucking insane.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
that match is worthy of a pay-per-view match of the year. I almost did that myself.
Yeah. It was one of those things. I forget what I had. I think I had like the dog collar match from, and that's why I ended up switching it to this. Cause I was like, is that dog collar match? Like it was before actually I even was like, not going to give Punk anything this year, even though I think Punk was probably deserving in some things, but like, I'm just like, I decided not to, but that was before then. I decided, you know, I don't know if I really, I don't know if even with what Punk went on to do, if that MJF feud ended up being what we needed it to be for.
Yeah.
It kind of ended in a weird way, which is fine and worked out ultimately. But I think Punk could have gotten to the championship without having to go there. You know, I don't think that was necessary. So, but the point is, I think this match just hit me correctly. I mean, there's so many crazy spots. The two teams that, you know, it's like between the six wrestlers that are involved in this match, you could have any combination of them wrestle a singles match and it would be incredible. You could have any of them combination of them wrestle tag match and it'd be incredible. You could also have any of them wrestle any combination of any match that you want. That, by the way, is why there is a best of seven series happening out of this match.
Yep. This, of course, being match one of the best of seven. And to your point, every single time, to me, in that match, every single time Kenny Omega and Pac like touch the ring against each other, it just, you felt sparks fly, like genuinely.
Those, I think, two, I literally deleted my notes for this. I can't find them. I'm not even kidding.
It's okay, but those two had some serious chemistry together, and this, I don't think this is going to be the only time we mention these guys this year. So, excuse me. That being said, Garrett, you're up here. You're kicking us off with your Dynamite match of the year, and here we go. Drum roll, please.
Picking up their third award of this show, Dax Harwood versus Bryan Danielson.
Well deserved. Well deserved.
This is the year of Dax. You know what? Dax wanted this to be his legacy year as FTR. I think he accomplished that. So I'm gonna award him, you know, accordingly. And well, Bryan Danielson, man, absolutely gonna be in my awards. I'm gonna find some way for him to get in there, you know. Because he's the GOAT. But anyway, when I heard this match was happening, I think I said to you, this is probably going to sneak in for my match of the year, because Dax, incredible wrestler. Bryan, probably my favorite wrestler of all time. I can say that now. CM Punk's now in the dirt for me, you know? So I didn't intend for this to be in a CM Punk hate hour, but it is. I'm sorry. I got hurt. I got butthurt feelings from that. I'm sorry, you know, but I knew that was going to come out in this show too. It's why I wasn't super excited about it. I was like, oh, I know that's going to bleed into my commentary on this show, but whatever. Cause it literally, CM Punk would have not been like five awards on this list, but he would have been considered for a lot of them, you know, but like,
yeah, whatever. This match, it took place November 30th episode of Dynamite.
Yeah. Again, a lot of stuff from the last
Dynamite
couple
165
months
for the people.
But like I said, these matches, it's what hits you right at the right time. And when I heard about this match, I was so fucking excited, because it's two of the best technical wrestlers in the world right now getting in the ring with each other and having an actual wrestling match, which is not, again, a knock on anybody else that does any other style of wrestling except for the Elite, because sometimes I hate what they do, you know, because it's just annoying. But that's why I love stuff like this, because it cleanses my palate so they can get away with shit like that, because I will allow a certain amount of nonsense as long as I get Dax versus Bryan Danielson at least once a year, you know, like.
And this, yeah, man.
It was everything you expected it to be on paper, technically really sound, lots of submissions trading, stuff like that. And both of them with a lot of references to other previous matches and wrestling and stuff like that. And Dax and Bryan both like to take wrestling match very seriously and make it a very sports-oriented sort of vibe to it. So, like, this could have been like a Ring of Honor main event back like 10 years ago or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, because these two are just that talented. So
it was, and for me, I just remember it was the chain wrestling, you name it. It was the counters, everything that these guys did against each other. They were having so much fun wrestling the match, and we were having so much fun watching the match. So, yeah, well deserved of Dynamite Match of the Year. But we are again different here. All right. So,
okay.
Kicking us off here with my Dynamite Match of the Year, the Elite versus United Empire, the Trios Tournament qualifying match. This was Young Bucks and Kenny taking on Aussie Open and Will Ospreay. So this match, to me, this is when we just figured, man, this tournament is on its fucking nose. Like, this thing is insane. This was our first time Will and Kenny fought for the first time in a while, man. And the rivalry, it was evident throughout the match, even though they haven't been in the company for years. But this was one of those trios matches that just, to me, it made me so fucking happy, dude. I was so happy during this match and during this time because we were so excited for these belts. And what we've done since the belts have come out have been fantastic. I mean, like you just said, your pay-per-view match of the year, you know. These belts have been an unmitigated success for AEW, even though they had controversy at first. They've made it work, and it's been really fun to follow.
They got to figure out the ratings with the Trios Championship, but once they can figure that out, once they get the right – what that is, they just got to get the right team in there, which unfortunately hasn't been either the Elite or Death Triangle, unfortunately. It's not going to bring the ratings with that. That may just be a ratings killer of a championship, but it's fine because we have like 97 championships and 870 wrestlers on the roster.
Exactly. Anyway, so and as long as we're having good matches, you know what I mean? I don't give a fuck. It is what it is. And this was – by all accounts, this was a very fun, exciting match. The Elite and United Empire, man, this was kind of one of our first like real big tastes of United Empire in AEW this year. And then we had the match with them and FTR that we just talked about in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So
it was almost kind of like a really personal match too for Will Ospreay, because for like years now he's been living in Kenny Omega's shadow as like this, because you know he's basically like filled the role that Kenny had in New Japan when he left, you know, in terms of like the most important gaijin, you know, like and like in terms of like potential title shots, like he's been a multi-time champion I think now, or at least had at least multiple shots, like he's, you know, like, so it was a really important match like storyline wise for Will going forward in New Japan. And I think it also set up United Empire to be contenders for FTR as well really nicely, because it got them in the mix and the stuff with the people with AEW association, you know?
Yeah, well put, well put. That was from the August 27th episode of AEW Dynamite. So, excuse me, let's jump into Rampage match of the year. So I will
Rampage, baby!
This is Rampage, baby! I will be kicking us off here. In my Rampage match of the year, no surprise here, John Moxley, Wheeler Yuta. This was the April 8th edition of AEW Rampage. This was the making. Baby. This was the making of Wheeler Yuta. This was the match. This was the bloody fucking disgusting match that turned Wheeler Yuta into the star year that he had. Multi-time ROH Pure Champion. He's one of the core members of the Blackpool Combat Club. What a great 8 months it's been for him since this match. And this is one of those where I credit guys like John Moxley and Jericho, even this week, putting over the next generation of stars. And he did it here. John Moxley won this match, but Wheeler Yuta, this was the best thing that could have happened to him for his entire career.
For us, this was kind of to make this about us instead of just Wheeler, because you know I always got to insert yourself in. That's how you maintain dominance. No, anyway. Jokes aside, like I think this was really vindicating for us because we had Wheeler as a pillar, and I think a lot of people would have, if they saw our original list of pillars, they'd have been like, okay, Starks, okay, you know, Garcia is obviously really talented, and Dante is obviously a freak athlete. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Wheeler has potential, but I don't think anybody saw Wheeler as being the next guy, you know? But everybody else that has a brain, you know, in the wrestling business, I guess we're in the wrestling business, kind of, you know? I mean, we don't really make money off this, but it's the idea, you know? Yeah, everyone noticed that all of a sudden this Wheeler Yuta kid. I don't know how that happened backstage. I don't know if they just created chatter. I don't know what happened. I don't want to take any credit for it because the kid was already super talented. Yeah, let's listen to MJF talk about him in the promo that he cut on him at some point in the year. You know,
it was so absolutely fantastic for Yuta. And this, the Blackpool Combat Club, you know, it was just, this was a lot of fun to follow. So
it's kind of cool if you go through our lists, like yours is kind of Moxley's, like very centered around what Moxley and the Blackpool Combat Club was doing, and like mine's very centered around what FTR, Dax, that whole
Two sides of AEW that we had this year. I mean, there's more sides than that too. So it's so that was my Rampage match of the year. Garrett, you already know, here we go.
I get to be the pleasure. I get to be the pleasure too, but I get to have the pleasure of being the first person of our award show to award one of our favorite wrestlers an award this year, which is Claudio Castagnoli versus Konosuke Takeshita for the Ring of Honor World title.
Yeah.
Which was a phenomenal match. I've given up looking for my notes on these because it's so hard to go like how many weeks.
Yeah,
back
same,
was this.
Same.
That being said, excuse me. I remember this match being super hard hitting. It was right in the middle of Konosuke's big run before he went back to. This might have been the last match that he had actually that wasn't a dark match before he went back. I want to say that might be incorrect, but. It was right at the height of Konosuke fever. Claudio was still in the middle of his short title reign, but he was still over as hell having the title match every other week or something like that. And he was doing some really interesting stuff in the ring. Konosuke was in this match to me, showed me that he really does have what it takes to be a world champion. Now, obviously, he's a multi-time DDT champion, right? So you have that, but you could be a multi-time champion in like Impact and it doesn't really mean anything if you can't do it when it counts, you know? Like, so I was really interested to see how this was going to work out and how, given a world title shot, a world title opportunity, how was Konosuke going to take this opportunity? And I think he knocked it out of the park. I think he made Claudio look really good. There were some really, really incredible spots in this match. I want to say there was... I want to say it was one of the better sold matches of the year. Like there was just so much selling because like Claudio, underrated seller in my opinion, because he's such a big meaty man that he has to sell for you. If he doesn't, it just kind of is like, oh, he's just beating the shit out of you, you know, like, which is fine sometimes, but
we've seen him do plenty of times.
Absolutely. And I just know that for one thing, this was like one of the matches that confirmed to me that Konosuke was going to be one of my favorite wrestlers going forward. This was the match, Charlie. Remember like that like random week where I literally watched every independent match that was available on YouTube that had Konosuke in it? Like,
yep.
This was the match that made me do that because I was like, I need more Konosuke. This is not the end.
You know what? And well put, man. Well, this was a good, worthy honor. This was worthy a winner. And yeah, Takeshita and Claudio, seriously, this was, we were getting ready to,
probably the best match of Claudio's title reign, right? Like, let's be real, you know?
Yeah, probably my favorite match since he's been in AEW.
That's fair. That's probably fair, actually. Claudio hasn't had a whole bunch of options. Like, Hager match, maybe. Like, it's been, like, the Jericho match.
It's been mostly the multi-man matches. If I had to pick one...
with Jericho have been fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd probably take the four-way if I absolutely had to pick one, but...
That's true. Yeah, that's fair.
You know, this being AEW, I just thought it was fantastic. So, yeah, really good stuff. So let's move on. Our last match of the year is here. Hey, you're taking the lead. Your dark match of the year. So this could be Elevation, could be Dark, either or. Doesn't matter.
Your winner for this match was technically a dark match. I don't think this was an Elevation match. I would have to check the files. I haven't actually written in my other notes. Hold on, let me look. I think it's dark. I'm pretty sure.
Drum roll, please. Your winner is...
Miyu Yamashita versus Thunder Rosa AEW Women's Championship Eliminator match, which, shockingly, Miyu Yamashita won, which we'd been saying for months.
Yeah.
It was going to happen eventually. Someone's going to get the invite, you know, and be like, hey, we're going to have you beat our champion. You're going to then lose to them later, but you're going to get a title shot out of it. It's going to be fucking cool because no one's going to see it coming. And this was at the Princess of Princesses event, I believe, over in Tokyo Joshi Pro. Is it not Tokyo Joshi Pro, or is it? Sorry, is it?
It was Tokyo. Yep.
Oh, it was Tokyo Joshi Pro. There's a couple of promotions over that they work with, so I didn't want to get it incorrect. But at the TJP Princess of Princesses event, which is a really big event over there, so it was a big deal that you know, this was during a time when Thunder Rosa, as you mentioned, was in the middle of that really great run where she was like going over to like Japan and wrestling.
To me, this is one of the matches that solidified that run.
Absolutely. And I don't think their second match was as good as this match.
Agreed.
That doesn't really matter when we're talking about this match. So they did some really good stuff. There was some really incredibly good selling by Miyu Yamashita that really, really made me wish they were going to like bring her over for like maybe an excursion or something, like bring her in into the company, because it felt like for a while there they were looking for women's talent, but they just weren't signing anybody. And it was really frustrating. This was one of those ones I think they let get away. You could see her in WWE. You could see her, probably not in Impact, but another company like that, you know, like maybe WOW or one of those other promotions that's trying to take a big leap in the women's wrestling market right now. Mimi Amashita, like I said, just out there. Really, really talented. Thunder Rosa looked like stronger than ever. Because I remember thinking like throughout the whole run, because they kept putting Thunder Rosa against solidly good wrestlers, but not like spectacular wrestlers. And I'm like,
yeah, we just got off the Nyla Rose feud. And I was like, the feud wasn't great. I thought they had a good match.
Nyla can have good matches. I think Nyla just has to be like, it's got to be the right timing. And there's things there that can work and not work. I don't know if they just didn't have the chemistry. Maybe they don't like each other. I don't know what the deal is. But Thunder Rosa can have a match with just about anybody. You know, she's like that female, like Brian Danielson type wrestler, you know, like where she could just like, yeah, I trust her to have a match with you. And so then when these two collide and she like very much bites, like she's almost like a Mexican, like sort of like wrestling style version of like the hard hitting. Cause there's some hard hitting in Mexican wrestling. Right. However, you also get, the Lucha Libre style is also very influenced by that, some of that Japanese sort of hard hitting. Like, that's why I always pictured Thunder Rosa, and I always thought it'd be so perfect to have her go against some of the women's talent that cut their teeth in Japan, because there's so much of that harder edge to it, you know? I love that about Japanese women's wrestling. They're all just like, they're all like these, like, you know, they get called like the cute little Japanese girls, but like most of them are tougher than half of the women in wrestling. Like, it's crazy, you know, like,
Right.
That aside, I really enjoyed this match. It was a really unexpected treat that we got on Dark. We got that, and we also got a match that almost was, that was actually in consideration for this award all the way up until literally yesterday. It had a consideration, and I just finally decided this is the match. Which was the Pac versus Yuya Uemura. Sorry, I can't pronounce it. So yeah. Yuya. Was it Yuya?
Yuya Uemura, I believe.
Yeah. I believe it was him. Either way, the whole point is there was a
match. Or it was Shota Umino.
Sorry, it was Shota. It was Shooter.
Yeah.
Yuya was in like that. Was Yuya the replacement?
He's the guy that we've been talking about making waves and impact right now.
But he also, somebody on Forbidden Door. That's why he's in our heads.
Yeah.
I want to say. He was in a replacement match for Forbidden Door. I want to say. Maybe he replaced Ishii or something like that. But Shooter, yeah, it was against Shooter. Because Shooter did a bunch of stuff around Forbidden Door. See, like, this is why it's so crazy. Because forgive us a little bit, everybody. Because AEW had a bit of a chaotic year when it came to the wrestlers they were able to bring in for stuff like Forbidden Door and various other things. But this was during the run of title defenses that Pac had. Where he was going around the world defending the All-Atlantic Championship, which it kind of cut that gimmick out. I'm not surprised. I remember saying that at the time. They probably won't do this going forward because it's probably really expensive to send Pac overseas, you know? Like,
yeah, but you know what? While we had it, it was a good time too.
Oh, yeah, it was really fun for the beginning of that championship. But ultimately, because they went in a different direction with that, it felt appropriate to give this match, which was just a little bit of an excursion for Thunder Rosa. You know, like she went over there, she had some matches. I probably only just saw the one because there wasn't a lot planned, but they did that, and there's an opportunity for both companies that I think they both benefited from. So, Charlie, what were you feeling from
Dark Correlation? And I can say this. Relation? Yamashita and Thunder Rosa was my favorite Dark match of the year. Until.
Okay.
This next match came along. And I changed it that day in my notes. I didn't go back and change it. I changed it that day. Because what I'm about to say, people are going to be like, wait a minute. Did you just say that, Cuzza? That being said, my Dark match of the year. QT Marshall versus Action Andretti. When this match happened, I remember telling you, I was like, this is what AEW Dark is. Barely ever heard of Action Andretti, if never heard of him. Can't really remember at the time. And QT Marshall was going out there, putting people over. And what he did with this guy, he had the whole crowd rooting for him. And Action Andretti went out there and put on a fucking show. And it was truly an awesome moment. It was, to me, what AEW Dark is all about at its core. And I think that kind of fueled it. But I had Yamashita and Thunder Rosa. That was my favorite match of the year until this match. And look at what's happened now. Just this week, Action Andretti got the graphic. He's officially All Elite. He pinned Chris fucking Jericho. I mean, just...
The Ocho.
I mean, this was I didn't go and change this week. Like, oh, let me try and sound smart. No, this was in there. And I'm so happy for the kid. Seriously, he's a really young guy. I think he's going to add some new blood now to wherever he goes. Maybe he could be the newest member of the Dark Order. Maybe that could be some exciting stuff. Who knows?
Join us.
And either way, that's going to be some fun stuff. But QT Marshall, I want to say this. He doesn't get a lot of credit.
QT Marshall?
Yeah, he doesn't get a lot of credit all the time for what he does. But this guy goes out there, puts different people over each week. He knows how to get booed. He knows how to get the crowd to cheer for the other guy, even if it's someone like Action Andretti who they had never heard of. And he went out there, and Action Andretti, that was a star performance. And then he had his star-making performance this past week of against Chris Jericho. So,
the Ocho.
Yeah, just fantastic stuff.
El Ocho.
El Ocho. But yeah, those were our matches of the year. So,
some good stuff in there.
Yeah, really. I mean, really good stuff. I mean, overall, just to recap.
I got the award Konosuke first.
Yeah, you did. You did. So just to recap our pay-per-view matches of the year. You had Death Triangle versus the Elite at Full Gear. I had Anarchy in the Arena at Double or Nothing. Our Dynamite matches of the year. You had Bryan Danielson versus Dax Harwood. I had the Elite versus United Empire. Rampage matches of the year.
Baby.
Claudio Castagnoli versus Konosuke Takeshita. And Wheeler Yuta versus Jon Moxley. And then our dark match of the year, which was almost unanimous. Miyu Yamashita versus Thunder Rosa. As well as QT Marshall versus Action Andretti. Okay. That being said, I'm going to bounce around our list a little bit here. Because we have a certain order. But let's jump into our pay-per-view of the year. And
that's actually what I have next on my list, weirdly.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. So, pay-per-view of the year. I believe it is me kicking it off now again, right?
Correct.
So, pay-per-view of the year. Drum roll, please. It's Full Gear. AEW's Full Gear to me. When it comes to a full show, no pun intended.
A full gear.
It was, I thought, beginning to end, my favorite show. It was the most consistent show. And it's fitting. It had your pay-per-view match of the year on it. It was the crowning of MJF. We had Jungle Boy versus Luchasaurus. Jade Cargill versus Nyla Rose. The Jericho four-way I was just previously talking about. Jericho, Danielson, Claudio, and Guevara. That was the Saraya return match defeating Britt Baker. Joe, Wardlow, and Hobbs. Little disappointing. Darby Allin and Sting trying to kill themselves against Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. Jamie Hayter's crowning defeating Tony Storm. And the Acclaimed defeating Swerve in Our Glory to retain.
You put a pay-per-view with Slapnut on it as your pay-per-view.
I fucking did. And you know what? Full Gear, really, to me, it marked almost a transitioning era of AEW in a way. With Jamie and MJF finally being crowned and the Acclaimed 1,000%. Retaining their titles. And this, to me, when I look back at pay-per-views this year, I think this is the one I'm going to think about the most. And yeah, it was my favorite of the year.
Good stuff. Yeah, it was a really good show. I really enjoyed it as well. It didn't hit me quite as much as I wanted it to. I really wanted a spectacular show, and we got a good show. I was really looking forward to Saraya's match, and that's what really dragged that show down for me. And it's not her fault. She was not obviously. What we all wanted and what she was able to deliver didn't match. And she was probably aware of that going into that match and knew. And so she just ate it, and respect for that. So for me, though, I went a little different direction. We're going a little bit earlier in the year. We're going a little bit earlier in the year, a little more international with this.
Ooh, okay. So let's get a drum roll, please.
I am the Forbidden Door, Charlie.
Okay. I like it. I like it.
The Forbidden Door pay-per-view. Now, people are going to be like, what? Didn't feature MJF. Didn't feature like a ton of stars because of all the injuries. To me, this show is just everything that it means to the wrestling, the future of wrestling, I think. If AEW doesn't collapse into dust, like it's a superhero at the end of Infinity War. Spoilers. then I say a superhero, so I guess it's not really a spoiler, but I guess it's really a spoiler only if you haven't seen that movie. But anyway, there was so many really great matches. This was when this card featured one of my favorite matches that would have been my pay-per-view match of the year probably, which was Cassidy versus Will Ospreay.
And I'm with you. That was almost my favorite pay-per-view match of the year.
I think that's what occupied
the spot. That was the two I went back and forth on was Anarchy in the Arena and that. So,
and then there was something else. Whatever I mentioned, there was other matches.
Yeah, we had Thunder Rosa and Tony Storm, Claudio versus Zack Sabre Jr., Moxley versus Tanahashi, which we were mentioning earlier, Jay White, Hangman, Okada, and Adam Cole, Pac defeating Clark Connors, Miro, and Malakai. You name it. And then the FTR United Empire Roppongi Vice match. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there was like that. There was supposed to be the IWGP Fatal 4-Way. Anyway.
It was incredible.
Good stuff. You'd love it. God, we got Okada on an AEW pay-per-view. Oh, anyway.
Still doesn't feel real.
Tanahashi, man. Anyway, I gush over this pay-per-view. Really good show. I don't want to spend too much time on this one because it's obviously just like, what was your favorite? Yeah. I really, really liked Forbidden Door this year. Really fun.
So let's go next here. Let's do our feud of the year.
Dude,
so,
we have them in the same order, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, because, okay.
Yeah.
So, feud of the year, you're going to kick us off here. So, drum roll, please.
There's really only one thing you can pick for this year, and if you don't pick it, you're a fool. It's the JAS versus the BCC. It's 1,000%. Like, there's been nothing else that lasted as long as it did this year. There's been nothing else that carried the brand of AEW like this did. This carried the torch of the brand when, in all the darkest times, when there was all kinds of injuries and uncertainty and champions needed to step up and step out, and who became your ultimate wrestler of the year out of this? Became out of the stuff that came from the storyline, let's be real. I think if it's not this unanimously, I'll be really surprised to see what it is that you thought was better
than
this.
I think it technically is unanimously, but yeah, I'm with you here. The JAS versus BCC.
Okay, we'll have to discuss.
This is going on.
I
want
to hear what you have to say, because everyone knows there's enough to say about this. Like, you had your favorite match, a pay-per-view match, I believe, out of that.
The very beginning of it, Anarchy in the Arena.
Yeah. So, you know.
So, yeah. Okay. Let's jump to mine, because it's going to make a lot of sense here. So I'll do a quick drum roll here. We're going to do a quick yes, in parentheses, I put JAS versus BCC, but I kind of broke it down a little bit. So it is the JAS versus BCC. I will say this is unanimous, but I put technically Daniel Garcia versus Bryan Danielson. I put within that feud. It's like a subsection of that
the
feud.
Mini feud, but then I'll take that. That's still,
you know what
the
I mean?
Same.
So it is JAS versus BCC. Yeah. It's just a subsection feud of that.
Because I would argue, even though it's dead feud, Mox versus Guevara falls under that as well. So you know.
Yeah, exactly. And Jericho versus Claudio, you name it. There's so many feuds out of this. That, in a way, I kind of just picked my favorite from this feud. But yes, this is unanimous. The Jericho Appreciation Society versus Blackpool Combat Club. And honestly, when these groups started forming, if you would have told us this back in May, that this would be our favorite feud of the year, we wouldn't be surprised. It makes sense. This is kind of the
being set up at the time. I remember what this was birthed out of. It was birthed out of what was going to be my feud of the year all year up until this feud started, which was Eddie Kingston versus Jericho. Which,
yep.
Honorable mention, because that was a really great
honorable
well.
Mention, yep. But if we had to break it down into a subsection, Daniel Garcia versus Bryan Danielson, I thought was just such a fun storyline. You're a wrestler, Chance. Whether you know they had their matches at the House of the Dragon show. I thought was
the
incredible.
Dragon Slayer. I wish I hadn't dropped that Dragon Slayer gimmick, man. It was cool.
It was cool. And yeah, man, Wheeler Yuta and Daniel Garcia put on some great matches together too. So very good stuff. Very fun stuff. That being said, that's no surprise. I doubt that's a surprise to anyone, right? I'm curious what other people might think. I mean, we might be missing stuff here that I'm just completely going over my head.
I'm sure there's stuff we overlooked. That's why I was saying this would be a good opportunity if you all want to engage with the show. This would be a good time to go to at Eat Sleep Elite and let us know what you would have had for these.
Seriously, yeah, let us know. I'd love to hear it. So, okay. This is going to be a fun one here. We're going to now do the best 2022 signing. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to kick us off here. I don't have a full list of the 2022 signings. There's
I don't
been a
either.
Lot.
I just made sure the one that I had was signed this year.
Okay. So here we go. I'm going to kick us off here. Drum roll, please. The best 2022 signing. Toni Storm. I think for all the reasons we were talking about earlier for why she's one of our women's wrestlers of the year, Toni Storm came in March, at the end of March, took over. She has made such an impact on the women's division. Her title run, she was like the Iron Man each week, man. I mentioned it earlier, like that 10-week period where she wrestled literally every week. And you name it, she came in and she has been such a success as a signing. And I think she's elevated her career to another level. I just think if we're going to call it a blue chip prospect right now, like a blue chip signing.
A little bit of a blue chipper, bud.
Yeah.
Dude, those fucking hip attacks this year, dude. Oh, my God.
Dark, exactly. You name it on Dark. I think in terms of just bringing someone in as a signing and what they've done this year, I think Toni Storm has been the best 2022 signing. I know you're not going to disagree with that because she's your wrestler of the year. So, you know, it's like, of course she's been a fantastic signing. But that being said, do you have a different wrestler of the year? Here we go. Not wrestler of the year. Best 2022 signing.
Right.
Yours is...
Whose house?
Swerve's house!
Yeah, it's Swerve Strickland. Actually, you want to hear something crazy? I live edited this like 30 seconds ago. I had somebody else and I changed it. That's not even a joke.
For
I literally
went
back
curtain,
to Swerve.
Yeah, you got to give a wink. Who did you have?
Oh, it was. I had Takeshita. I was going to double award him, but I was like, you know what? He didn't do enough, you know? And then that's kind of my rule. It's like, did he do enough? I mean, he was there. It was really fun. I really liked him, but Swerve Strickland won the tag team championship this year. He formed probably one of the most fun tag teams we've had in a while. That story is still playing out as we speak. Swerve is one of my favorite wrestlers that they could have chosen from out there. I remember when they did the stuff at Defy forever ago, I was really excited because they like hinted at signing Swerve as well. And I was like, okay, we'll see where that goes, you know, because he was one of my favorites from that NXT breakout tournament that I always like to go back and reference on this show, even though we're not a WWE show. But Swerve Strickland to me, best addition that we got. You could also put Keith Lee in this category. I agree with the Toni Storm pick as well.
Yep.
If we broke it down into men and women separately, I would have Toni Storm as mine.
And I would have Swerve as mine. Agreed. We're on the same page there. Both fantastic years, and both have been such fantastic signings and what they've brought to the company, right? And Swerve is developing this heel character lately that's just fantastic. I mean, it's good.
Shout outs to Athena for really coming in strong at the end of the year as well.
Yes, Athena, good shout out there. Well done. Okay, so those were our best 2022 signings. So I think let's hit our breakout star, huh? So you'll be kicking us off here. So Garrett, your breakout star of 2022 is
Sword Sound, Wheeler Yuta.
Ooh, okay. I like it.
So yeah, our pillar, our boy, the guy that we've been supporting all year long, had probably one of the best years of anybody this year in AEW. Multi-time
pure champion.
Oh my God,
especially if you take his stock from like January to now.
Dude. And probably part of the most popular faction besides the JAS and AEW right now. Not even a question, actually. That's pretty much definitive. But and one of the key members of it, and people will sit there and be like, well, this didn't elevate Wheeler Yuta as a star. Well, then you're not paying the fuck attention because this guy was nothing 8 months ago. Like, you know, like, and now he's one of the biggest stars in the company. Like, so, you know, like, yeah, no, not everyone's going to know the guy's name and they don't sell as many t-shirts as they maybe, you know, MJF. But if MJF says that he's been wrestling you for years and he knows you're one of the best wrestlers in the world, he's right. He doesn't just say that. Yes, he's going to elevate his opponent. He's not going to elevate a guy he doesn't believe is actually worth elevating. You know, like, that's not what MJF does. I've watched MJF shit on people. Look at what he did with this feud with Brian Cage, you know, like, so.
Yeah.
And that's, again, that's not a knock on Brian Cage. He just didn't see him as enough of a star to do anything with. So Wheeler Yuta, to me, had a really, really great year. And I'm really excited to see what he does in the next year. I think he could be, I think watch Wheeler Yuta next year and see what this guy does. Because
well deserving of the award. You know, I'm not going to disagree. I mean, hey, the Rampage match of the year was Mark the coming out story for him. I mean, that was the star making performance. However, this award is not unanimous. Here we go. Drum roll, please. My 2022 breakout star is Konosuke Takeshita. He had that 4 month, and I originally put this before he was coming back. So it's even fitting now that he's returned, that he's getting the reactions that he is. Konosuke came onto the scene. I'm going to pull up the exact date here, but I want to say June. He came onto the scene that he was doing his 4 month excursion. He didn't cut a single promo. All he did was go out there and wrestle. And by going out there and wrestling fantastic matches week after week, it was April 25th, 2022 when he returned, defeating Brandon Cutler. And he went out there wrestling, not saying a word, and he got over to a point where he got the ROH title match against Claudio on that Rampage, like you mentioned, as your Rampage match of the year. And it was just fantastic. He came to AEW in a 4-month stand, and he became such a big star to a point where November 19th, it was announced that Takeshita had signed with the company after his match with Eddie Kingston and Ortiz. So he is still signed at DDT, and he's signed with AEW. He has now made his dream come true of wrestling in America. I mean, he's one of our guys. So what a year for him, and he truly became a star this year, just like Wheeler Yuta. So congrats to them.
Let me just count this up. So I think that's like 2 or 3 awards he picked up this year, and he's had like less than 6 months in the company. I think we discussed this. I think the breakout star award next year is just going to be called the Takeshita. I think that's what we have to do.
And I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm really okay with
that. The Takeshita award, I mean, we got to idolize. We got to immortalize this guy somehow. He had such – people won't recognize it, but it's got to go down in history as one of those incredible wrestling moments you just can't explain. That just happened, you know?
And I mean, the Hangman Adam Page match, I mean, dude, oh my God. There's so many moments up with this guy, and – the fact that he's back and he's getting scouted by Don Callis. Are we going to see a run with him and Kenny in 2023? I mean, who knows? Either way, I'm beyond excited. Our breakout stars of the year, Wheeler Yuta and Konosuke Takeshita. Just recapping our last couple. Our best 2022 signings, Tony Storm and Swerve Scott. Wow, I fucked that up. Swerve Strickland, I'm sorry. And then pay-per-views of the year, Full Gear and Forbidden Door. And the unanimous feud of the year, the JAS for the Beast versus the BCC. So, that being said, right, we have our favorite promo, our favorite storyline, our favorite moment, the most underrated, and our favorite independent wrestler. Which one should we go with next? What are you thinking?
Well, we should definitely do most underrated last because okay. I actually forgot to write down. I know who it is. I just forgot to write it down. So let me just make sure I had that. So what I did was I had two versions of this, and I had to make sure that I had all the right awards, everybody. Just a little peek behind the scenes. And so I have it all written down. I just didn't write that one down the other night. I have everything else, but that one.
Hey, all good, all good. So let's this will be me kicking us off here. Let's go into our favorite promo of the year. Okay. So, I'm kicking us off here. Drum roll, please. Christian Cage, your father is dead. Promo Jesus at Christ. Jungle Boy. Holy shit.
How could you award that absolute?
I have to, that son of a bitch. I know.
How could he go there?
He hit him. This promo, that's the hook of it, right? But this promo.
No hooks a wrestler.
MJF was gone. Christian Cage walked in and he just got some fucking nasty heat. And it resonated well with me, man. I thought it was just fantastic. Here's the thing, Jungle Boy. I never wanted to be your father. I never wanted to be a father figure. You have a father, but your father is dead. And that's probably God a good damn. Thing, Jungle Boy, because he would be embarrassed and ashamed to see how you turned out. He would be ashamed to see you curled up like a ball on my feet, refusing to get up and fight back. Heel Christian Cage while MJF was gone was fantastic. This promo, it made its waves. I read that off of fucking ET Canada. I mean, if you want an idea of how far this just made its waves, you know what I mean? But this was one of those feuds that I really liked this year. You know, I could see some people say this is their feud of the year, but we didn't get the full conclusion yet. But it's been a really good storyline. It's been a really fun feud. But Christian Cage getting an award. I didn't think that would be the case, but you know what? It's the one that's resonated the most with me. There are some honorable mentions I'll mention if yours isn't one of these. So I'm going to hold those in the back pocket for a second while we get to yours. But I mean, Garrett, this is a memorable promo, you know? Well, Christian Cage, your father is dead. Is that a good hook, line, and sinker there?
Again, hook is a wrestler, but anyway,
God damn it.
But, yeah, no, I mean, yeah, so it sounded like I didn't know I was going to disagree or something. No, it was really good. I don't know, something about that promo, I just like,
it was so know, fucking was, vindictive and evil.
Yeah. Like I'll be honest with you. I agree with you, what you said 100%. Like we had that void of MJF being gone and Christian right? Cage went back to his old ways and, so apparently, if you look at old photos of him, he looks the same. But if you look at old promos, that's how he used to cut promos back when he was a single star. So, I mean, you know, okay, goddamn Christian. Because if you go back, not when he was in the WWE so much, I mean, he would cut heelish promos there, but obviously it's a little more, you know, tamed because of the era when he did his singles run as champion in WWE. But if you look at some of the stuff from when he was Christian Cage in Impact, this is very much in line with that. So,
yeah,
I really good stuff.
It is really good stuff. So that being said, Garrett,
speaking of really good stuff,
you're up. Your promo of the year. Drum roll, please.
It's going to surprise nobody. I've been talking about this guy's promos all year. They are the most interesting to me on the roster, even though he's not the best promo on the roster by far. I imagine this award's going to probably go to Eddie in the next couple of years, but it's fitting that the first one that we give out, for me at least, goes to one of his really close, if not his closest friend on the roster, which is John Moxley, who wants the ball.
I knew it! Yes! Dude, I almost put that. I'm not kidding.
So, interestingly enough, you want to hear something crazy? So I don't know exactly when this promo happened. I was trying to find that information. It was the week
after CM Punk and the thing happened.
Okay, so like the last 3 or 4 months, something like that. I will say this. If you can get me the exact date. So from January 20th until that day, I had John Moxley's return promo as the exact one.
Oh, what a fantastic promo.
Which, if everybody
doesn't know, September 7th, 2022. It was that episode.
So from January 20th to September in September, think about how long that was that I had one John Moxley promo and it didn't get usurped by any other promo that anybody cut. All the MJF stuff, everything, nothing got close to the Moxley promo until John Moxley cut another promo. If that doesn't tell you where I was at this year when it comes to promos, I don't know. But this was just an incredible promo. I talked about throughout the entirety of this awards show. There were different moments throughout this year because of how hard it was on the roster. People would complain about how big the roster was, and then half of it got hurt, and suddenly we still had a roster. It was amazing how that worked. It's almost like Tony Khan knew the wrestlers getting injured.
And all the stories that week, sorry to cut you off, all the stories week about John, you know, he was supposed to just go on vacation.
Yep.
And all this bullshit's going down. We just had two of our biggest stars suspended. We had the Young Bucks and everything. It's like, dude, he wanted the world championship.
Everything went to shit. And John Moxley was to steal a phrase from The Walking Dead, in a storm of shit, and decided, you know what? We had to bite down on this shit sandwich because there's nothing else here to eat, and we got to fucking keep things going, you know?
Yep.
So I don't know where the hell that line came from, you know, but whatever, you know, like. But yeah, I mean, it's absolutely, you know, one of the best promos probably ever, but like definitely one of the best promos of this year. That's what the controversial is going to come from. Oh, he's one of the best promos ever, but it was. John Moxley is one of the best wrestlers in the world right now. Definitely one of the best promos. People will say that John Moxley isn't like the level of star that it should be accredited to. I see Cornette shit on him a lot, you know, and I'm just like, this guy is what wrestling used to be. Yes, he does like some things that some people that are into older styles of wrestling, or especially the territorial style of wrestling, aren't going to be into, and I will always understand that. But while I will never understand people that look at a talented wrestler like Jon Moxley, your wrestler of the year for 2022,
yep,
and say that he's not that, and I will never understand that.
And promos like this, and like the one when he returned, there are reasons why he's wrestler of the year too. I mean, shit like that, man. He's just incredible. I lead it up to there. I was going to say honorable mentions. If you didn't get to it, this was one of them. This was such an unbelievable promo. This was at one point my favorite. I did have it on the list. It simply put, I just had John Moxley on with the ball, and I knew we'd both remember what that was.
Honorable mention, Ricky Starks promo last week. Literally.
Ricky Starks promo last week. And last honorable mention here, and you're gonna agree with me here.
Okay.
Your wrestler of the year, Dax Harwood. You cut a promo. Yep. We're going to go out there and fight like an 8-year-old girl.
That's one of the best.
It was absolutely incredible. It was talking about, I want to say, his match going against the Briscoes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this, he was talking about how she went out and beat cancer. And when I say I want to fight like an 8-year-old girl, when I say that, everyone's like immediately like, oh, I remember that. It was fantastic.
Absolutely.
And it was just the way he cut it. It felt like.
Because like I said earlier, when I talked about Dax for like 3 awards for like 20 minutes, is because everything that they do isn't a story. It's not they're not telling you a story. They're just, it's real. Yeah, they're not fighting.
It's real. Absolutely, dude. And that's what that promo felt like. And it was fantastic. So we had to get those honorable mentions out there. You know what I mean? That I couldn't help but talk about that Dax one once, just in case it wasn't one of our favorites.
And not to shit on AEW, but the promos were – they can be all over the place. But there were some really good ones this year. So
there were.
It's worth talking about.
You know, MJF and Regal had some great ones here. There were some really good ones.
The CM Punk versus MJF promo, the CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston back and forth. That was like 10 minutes. That was incredible.
Bloody fantastic. It was fantastic.
Great stuff.
Even, I mean, nom nom nom, Ace Steel and CM Punk, that promo. That was fucking brilliant.
Fuck that guy.
But that promo when Ace he fired up CM Biter Punk.
Steel.
I remember coming on this podcast talking about, oh my God, I've never been more fired up for a fucking rematch in my life. But yeah, so that being said, more favorites, right?
Okay.
Favorite moment. You're kicking us off here. Your favorite moment in AEW in 2022. Drum roll, please.
This is going to surprise nobody. The Acclaimed win the tag team championships.
Yep. It's unanimous, motherfucker.
Let's go.
Yeah, this is a unanimous one. The Acclaimed winning the tag team championships at Dynamite Grand Slam. So, yeah. Take it. What made this?
I could talk about this for like an hour. You know, like these are two guys that when we first started the show, we were like really into, but we were like, I don't know. I don't think the whole crowd wasn't really into it. We loved the intro and we loved what they were about. And we were like, all right, Max Caster, you know, if they let him loose a little bit, you know, we could see some fun stuff. And when we first saw them, we were like, oh, this kind of reminds me of, you know, like what Billy Gunn used to do, because like it's like one guy that talks really well and one guy that you know that can wrestle really well, you know, Bowens being the wrestler. But then actually you find out they're actually both pretty solid wrestlers, and you find out the backstory of the team is that Tony Khan just like kind of like how Dax and, you know, Cash got put together in NXT. Kind of found these two guys that were doing these separate things and they weren't really doing anything on their own, but he put them together and they found out they had this really cool idea for a gimmick, you know, and it really worked out. And to watch them go on this journey across the course of this year, where they went from being on Dark most of the time, but not really being on TV that much. And there's a clip, a really famous clip. And now it's a joke, obviously, but they were being probably a little serious when they were like, Tony Khan, why aren't you booking us on TV in the middle of a backstage? You know, have you seen that clip on YouTube, Charlie? Where it's
I believe so, yes.
Where the Acclaimed are like rapping at Tony Khan. Obviously, it's kayfabe, but, you know, and then he sends out like Dante and Matt Sydal or something. It's a really cool moment for the crowd. You know, like people are always like, oh, Tony Khan's on TV too much. But like, he really isn't, you know, like,
I don't know where they get that idea from.
He's literally never on there, but people will still say that every time he comes on. You know, like, oh, he's just trying to take a spotlight away, you know, but whatever. Fuck those people. You know, and there's that moment. So that we would talk about that for months, man. Like, oh, man, these guys should really be used. It really sucks that they don't get it. Like, every time, it felt like they always got like them and Private Party both always were like the first couple of contenders for the titles, but they just never won them, you know? And we could never figure out why.
Specifically, when the Lucha Brothers won it, they threw Acclaimed against them on a Rampage. And we're like, absolutely.
And we were like, oh, this match makes sense, but I don't think they should win it. And
I'm glad they're getting the match, but they're not going to win it. But it's just like
And we knew, and it was like that for months and for months and for months. And to watch it finally build up and then finally get the crowd behind them. And then the pairing with Billy Gunn, which nobody could have seen coming as being something that was going to happen.
They don't even call him Billy Gunn anymore. He's Daddy Ass.
He's Daddy Ass now. That's how much things have changed. When they started that, there was just them joining up with the Guns because I think they needed a feud with somebody that was a big faction.
Yep.
So, and they were trying to sort of, it felt like they were trying to turn, and they did successfully for a while, turn the Guns babyface, which was kind of incredible because before that were kind of, they were heels, but they weren't really getting a reaction, period. You know, they were just like kind of going out there.
Boys.
Yeah, like that was the whole thing, and they were trying to get away from that. But then they just leaned into it, and Billy Gunn becoming Daddy Ass, and I'll let you speak on this a little bit too because you had it as well, but like, God damn, just what a great build and what a amazing payoff. Yeah, they missed the mark by a couple of weeks, but fuck you, this was still awesome.
This is the definition of a favorite moment. I just, when they won this, it was such a good moment. It was such a feel-good moment, and wrestling's all about feeling good, man. We don't want to be fucking Batman versus Superman here. You don't want to have an entire movie where you're fucking down in the dumps. Wrestling's not about that. It can be a good movie. But if you're down in the dumps the whole time, it doesn't feel that good. Could I have been fine if Swerve?
WWE main roster 2 years ago is Justice League.
Yeah, I could have been fine with this if they wanted, but you know what? Here's the thing, man. This was such a feel-good moment, and it having it be two homegrown guys like this that, you know, we love these guys.
Impact and Suicide Squad.
Yeah, we love these guys. And Max Caster, they've been getting better in the ring every time, and it's just they really deserve it. And I couldn't be more happy for them in that moment. So, by far, favorite moment. And like I said, you well done. You covered pretty much all my thoughts on that too. So let's jump into our favorite storyline. And
we're not actually going anywhere. No,
No, we're not going anywhere. Is this another unanimous? Hold on here. And yeah, we're staying here. Please. Favorite storyline's the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass. Is that yours too?
Oh, okay. Actually, no, it's not. It's not unanimous. Well, it's the same people. Okay. So here's, I had Acclaimed versus Swerve in Our Glory.
Yeah, that's fair. But to me, I just put the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass as a whole.
Just say the Acclaimed, their entire run this year is basically the favorite story. Because it's all one story. Like,
agreed. It was with them and the Ass Boys and kind of the formation of them and Daddy Ass. And then the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass, you know, facing off with Swerve in Our Glory. And, you know, I mean, he went lobster mode. If Swerve fucking chopped his hands off, I mean, he went full Joker. No, but yeah, we're on the same page here.
How could somebody win the same award? They both win the award. They Acclaimed win it twice, but they win it for separate matches. I don't know how that works. We'll just call that the Acclaimed win it. That's weird. We'll have to work that out. Maybe for something like favorite storyline, we need to work on that as like a group, like a together.
Yeah, because for me, it's the storyline of the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass all year. It's when they made that formation with the Ass Boys and then what they've done since. So yours is falling into the same category. You were just picking something a little more specific.
Yeah, it's the Acclaimed. I think basically the point we're making with these two awards is that we really liked everything the Acclaimed did this year. So there you go.
For what it's worth, my favorite storyline.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I went between a couple at one point this year. One of mine I was choosing was Orange Cassidy and Mark Henry every time it's a Rampage main event. That was one for a little bit. And it had another good one this year or this past week. That was one I was going towards. Yeah, you name it, man. There's been a lot of fun stuff, but I couldn't help but pick the Acclaimed here. And you feel the same way. I mean, the formation with them and Daddy Ass has just, it's been such a success. And I mean, shout out Billy Gunn. I mean, who would have thought, right? He would be one of the hottest acts in wrestling in 2022.
I'm going to make the argument that Swerve in Our Glory was essential to the fully getting over of Daddy.
Oh, they were. 1,000%.
So I think we're talking about the same things here.
Yep. Yeah, agreed.
All right.
So another unanimous award, and both happen to be with the Acclaimed. I think that shows how much we just like them, too, you know? So, okay. Our last two awards, correct? Most underrated and favorite independent wrestler. So we're going to save most underrated for last.
Okay.
So Garrett, take us away here. Drum roll, please. Your favorite independent wrestler in 2022 is
Tony Deppen. I don't have a lot of matches written down or anything like that because like I didn't follow everything Deppen did, but everything I saw Deppen do outside of AEW this year, because I didn't see him do a whole lot in AEW, unfortunately, because they didn't use him that much, but, you know, whatever, or Ring of Honor. But he actually was in a Ring of Honor six-man tag match earlier this year. I had that pulled up earlier, but I couldn't remember who it was against. But on one of the pay-per-views, I want to say he was on a Ring of Honor.
Yeah, he was teamed up with Alex Zane and Blake Christian, All Heart.
Oh, yeah, that was a really cool team. And like, all three of those guys should be signed to AEW, just saying. But anyway, he also had a match with Alex Zane in GCW that I really liked, I want to say. There was also some matches in GCW against the likes of Jon Moxley. I'm not actually pulling this up. I actually looked at all this earlier because I wanted to do some research for this. Because this is actually the one where I kind of have to a little bit because you have to reach out beyond. If Kanosuke had more matches earlier in the year in America, like if he had stuck it out like in the independents instead of like, it seems like he turned to focus on AEW, which was the right move. But, you know, if he had done more in the independents and during his excursion, and he did a lot, but if he had done even more, it might have been him. But he ended up being a signing anyway. So, but Tony Khan. Tony Khan's definitely signed to AEW, but Tony Deppen is technically signed to Ring of Honor right now. So take that as you will. But a lot of people, I think, technically still are. Like, I wonder how many people are just waiting out their contracts, you know, and maybe they just aren't getting paid. I don't know how that works, you know, because there's no weekly Ring of Honor right now. So,
yeah.
But Tony Deppen, really fun guy, really good year for him. I had Mike Bailey as this for most of the year, and Tony Deppen just managed. I didn't end up watching as many Bailey matches as I thought I would, you know?
Yeah, no, that's fair. And Tony Deppen, someone I can't wait to see more of in 2023. And I guarantee we're going to see him on AEW TV at some point too. You know, he's such a good wrestler.
I think Bailey would have won it if I had like heard about more about his run, because he won a championship this year in Impact and it didn't really go anywhere. So I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. All right. So my favorite independent wrestler of 2022. We're going over to Japan. We're going to Stardom. Julia is my favorite independent wrestler of 2022. This is the year I became introduced to her. I was unfamiliar with her before this, and it was the 5-star Stardom Grand Prix tournament, which is where I first became introduced to her. And I've been following her ever since. I mean, whether it's little pictures of one of the Twitter pages we follow, I am blanking on the name. The dark one, but what is it? Dark pure or something?
Yeah, dark pure super.
They're always explosion. Posting little gifts of Julia, little images, and it's made me check out her matches. The New Japan Pro Wrestling Stardom Historic X Over. She teamed with Zack Sabre Jr. against Siri and Tom Lawler. Thought that was fantastic. And yeah, this is we're going over to Stardom, and I think she's only getting bigger as a wrestler. And One of the matches I really liked that she had was against someone that we talked about, which was Starlight Kid. And I thought that was
Starlight
fantastic.
Starlight Kid managed to make it into like 3 episodes of our podcast somehow this year. Don't ask me how. But
that was during that 5-star Grand Prix tournament. And yeah, she won it over Tam Nakano. And yeah, I think she's going to have a big 2023. I wouldn't be surprised if she's one of the people that Sasha Banks wrestles.
Women's wrestling feels like it's on the rise. You got like WOW still doing stuff over
there.
What's going on with WOW? But like they were supposed to be doing something a while back. They signed AJ Lee, you know, which obviously is a good idea. Like a while back, I don't know if that ever went anywhere, but it may, you know, they have Stardom. Obviously you have various other promotions in the women's wrestling world that are on the rise. So I think it opens up opportunities for some of the women in AEW to get experience. I would imagine Sky Blue goes on an excursion to like Tokyo Joshi Pro or something. Like
the things that could do for her career in the long run would just be incredible. So yeah, our favorite independent wrestlers, Tony Deppen and Julia. So really like that, and two very different ones, right? So that's what it's all about here.
Apparently I'm just like sexist because I didn't give like any of my awards to women this year for some reason.
God damn it.
I'm just looking at that now and I'm like, damn, I really should have given out more awards to women, but it didn't happen, I guess.
Hey, all right. It's all good, man. That's the best part about it. So, most underrated. Okay. I'm taking us home here, huh? I'm leading us off on our last award. Most underrated. Okay. Drum roll, please. I'm scared to say it.
Okay.
Sammy Guevara is the most underrated wrestler in AEW.
Okay.
And he has proven my point the last, like, 3 months. You could even say this week.
Is he truly underrated, though?
Yes, he is, because he doesn't get the respect he deserves. And that's why, to me, he's most underrated. I'll be the first to tell you. He had a rough year at the beginning. No, not at the beginning. In the spring. The beginning, he came out, had the fucking Cody Rhodes match. This is going to sound like a repeat if you just listen to our most recent podcast. So I kind of went down this tangent. Literally. But I'm going to say it again in case you haven't. At the beginning of the year, the Cody Rhodes match, and he had the TNT title. And you and I both agree, our favorite TNT title run of the year was Sammy Guevara. The first one specifically. He went out there, was having great matches week after week. He jumps into this Scorpio Sky feud. It becomes a mess. You know, he has some personal stuff go on. And then they pretty much bring his relationship on screen, and it didn't get good. It did not get a good crowd reaction at first. It got go away. Genuine go away heat.
People were like, I hate you for the same reasons I hated Justin Bieber.
Literally. And that happens. He goes off. And oh my God, I'm always thinking in the back of my head. I'm like, dude, this guy can go, man. He's such a good fucking wrestler. Just, we got to give him the chance. Bryan Danielson. Thank the Lords for Bryan Danielson. multiple matches with Danielson. They're all fantastic. Matches with Darby Allin, they're good. This most recent one this week, John Moxley again. But yet people still, this is, it's so funny. We were just talking about this. So many people still just think this guy's trash. I mean, they think he's no good at wrestling. He gets a little bit of the Austin Theory syndrome, which always drove me nuts. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah,
he's the Austin Theory. He's kind of died Austin Theory, though.
The Austin Theory character, I was like, hey, it was never good. People would immediately go to saying, oh, this guy's dog shit. He's not even a good wrestler. He's this, that.
It's like, no, he's Diet Austin Theory. Come on.
Austin Theory is a fantastic wrestler. And Sammy Guevara is a fantastic wrestler. And to me, he gets most underrated because there are still such a fucking wide variety of this fan base that just don't like him in ring and they don't even give him the chance. And to me, he's proven time and time again, especially at the back end of this year and at the beginning, even me who's giving him this award is not going to deny what happened with the Scorpio Sky feud. He has proven
absolute disaster, but that wasn't his fault.
I don't think it was. And you know what? He's my most underrated this year just because I think he's had overall a really good year. I think,
you know, if you really wanted to be magnanimous, you'd give Scorpio the most underrated for literally just like being like probably done with the company now and just refusing to come back. Like, I don't blame him.
He could win it. He's one of the guys that could win it. And I got some honorable mentions for this. I'm going to save for when you give yours here, just in case. But Sammy Guevara, my most underrated wrestler of the year. So, Garrett, take us home with our final award. Your most underrated wrestler of AEW in 2022 is...
Underrated, over it. It's Kip Sabian.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah, I really wish they had brought him back sooner. That's the definition of underrated, dude. This guy was sitting in the crowd for months, and I had no idea because they didn't tell me.
It wasn't until PAC. Yeah.
I had no fucking clue he was there for the entire time. I don't think anybody knew. They probably just thought he was some weird dude in the crowd. And it's like, oh, okay.
And then apparently when they finally knew about this, though,
and they were following it, and there was an active storyline all year, apparently. And I was just not aware of it, which I guess makes me just unobservant and not aware. But he was back all year, and they just didn't use him. That is the definition of not being rated properly by the people in charge, like, which is not necessarily the definition of the award, but that's kind of like one of the ways you can look at it. And like, he's just clearly, when I thought underrated, that's where I went. I was like, who's not really being used by Tony Khan right now?
He's a well-deserved winner of that.
I will throw an honorable mention before you go into yours, which is fucking Miro, obviously.
That was going to be mine. Yep. Okay. So we're in agreement here.
Okay. And then maybe also you could say Wheeler, because Wheeler, despite being a big star, I mean, still doesn't really – he's pure title. I mean, he's worth at least getting a TNT or something title shot. You know, like, I don't know. Like, but you'd have thought he would have at least gotten one, like, because all these people get random people off that would be – compared to Wheeler would be jobbers, you know, like, if you compare the records, you know, like – which those don't matter, but if you compare like how they've been treated in the company, that's a good way that you can look at the records if you want to keep them going forward, is who gets the most wins in a way that you'd think would be being treated well. Really interesting stuff though from both of our picks. I mean, Kip was like a late of the year. I wish Kip had gotten more time because people would probably agree with this more, but that kind of strengthens my argument a little bit, you know?
I think they're both deserving of it, and Miro's a great honorable mention. I'm going to toss another one out there. I'm going to toss a tag team. Because they've had a pretty brutal year, and that's a Private Party.
Yeah, I would 100% agree.
Those guys are severely underrated. Because
Matt Hardy got fucking shafted by his brother. Let's be honest, you know, like
he did. If we don't do bad awards, but if we were talking like most disastrous thing, I mean, that was one of them. They were set up for a prime storyline, and they got shit on.
Yeah, so. Jeff Hardy got saved by the Elite versus CM Punk drama because that ended up being the most like ridiculous thing all year. But yeah. Like, if it hadn't been, he would have been looked at a lot differently, probably, you know?
Because it was a fucking nightmare when it all happened. But yeah, all in all, man, really fun awards.
God, think about that. Jeff Hardy may have single-handedly derailed two young wrestlers' careers in Private Party. That's really unfortunate.
It destroyed their heel turn, too. Yeah, I mean,
oh yeah,
but man, now they're back with Matt Hardy.
Yeah, face Private Party will be fun. We'll get that for a little while, and maybe they'll turn on Matt, you know, eventually, and it'll be fun. Well,
the good thing is,
God, is that Private Party?
They're involved in an active storyline, so I mean, I guess that's the hope for our most underrated, right? Like, let's hope next year they can only improve it to a point where we're not saying they're underrated; they're stars. They're certified stars, and everyone sees them as stars. Like a Force.
Certified G's and bona fide stars.
Someone, I mean, we're not going to go. We could have gone into 2021 saying most underrated is the Acclaimed. And then look at them this year.
I think that would be fair, actually, you know? To be honest with you. That's what we would have said. If we had done those awards last year, Acclaimed would have been my most underrated team. Do you want to, I mean, this would not go through everything, but let's just like wrestlers of the year probably would have been like.
The one I had off the top of my head for last year would have been promo of the year, and it would have been MJF running down Brian Pillman. I still think
that was pretty good.
Shit.
I might have had something with like Kenny cut a pretty good promo on Bryan Danielson at one point last year. That was pretty good. So,
oh yeah,
I'd have to really think about some of them. But independent wrestler probably would have been like Swerve or somebody wild. That would have been such a fun year to pick favorite independent wrestler because everybody was unsigned. It was incredible.
And now more and more people are getting signed every day to other companies. And who knows? I mean, who knows what will be our best 2023 signing? Because Action Andretti was probably our last one of 2022. Could it be Sasha Banks? I mean, who knows what the future holds?
Sasha Banks shows up on New Year's Smash just so she can't be a 2023 signing.
Yeah, right? That would be something different. But yeah, man, all in all, that was our award show. This is a fun show. I'm glad it worked out the way it did. We had a few unanimous awards. We had a few that weren't. So I'll be posting once we'll give the show a couple days, but towards the new year, I'll kind of be each day posting like our award winners, just one each, little picture with them on the. We'll be posting them on the Twitter. It'll be a fun little thing to follow. Just so, yeah, it's something I'm very proud of this, and I'm proud of our show.
I am
here.
Too. It's like one of the most. This is probably the most time I've committed to something like this ever.
And. Very proud of it. And yeah, guys, that'll be it for us. So with our special award show only intro and outro, take us home. We'll catch you guys next week for Holiday Bash. Eat, sleep, elite. Catch you guys later.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.